If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is, what is light? And how do we actually receive more of it? Okay, so let's take a deep breath. And call yourself forward into the highest light quotient that you can possibly tap into this evening. And as you take your next breath, ingest that light. Just breathe it down into every single cell and fire every particle of your being with greater luminosity. Ready? Deep breath. And see that light now radiating from every single cell. Let's fire that photonic energy. See it radiate beyond the confines of your body, beyond the confines of the room in which you're sitting, beyond your home, beyond your state or your nation, beyond this planet. And know that you are limitless light itself. You've never been confined except by limited beliefs with which you've identified yourself temporarily. And so tonight we ask and invite the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to illumine our minds, to bring greater clarity, greater sense of conscious awareness of who we are as the light. We ask the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Most Radiant One, Lord Sananda Kumara, as we call him on Venus, to come and illumine and bridge our personal inadequacies through to complete revelation that we can see, truly see, because above all else, we want to see. We want to see in the light of our true divinity. We ask that anything that needs to be cleared at this time, that doesn't serve our onward ascension and progression, that be dissolved back into the innocent energy of divine perfect love from which it's come. So that only the loving we are, that we give and that we receive, is that which we carry with us as our jewels of adornment in the higher realms. And Father, into thy hands we commend our spirits tonight as we go forth in greater depth of inquiry. And we thank you that even as we have asked, it's already been given. And so it is. I'm going to start with an ancient affirmation that was given by the Tibetan master Dwal Kul through his amanuensis, Alice Bailey. And it's called the disciple. And this truly delineates who we are in time and space. As we come into a greater awareness of our true identity, who we are, where we've come from, and why we're here. And I quote, I am a point of light within a greater light. I am a strand of loving energy within the stream of love divine. I am a spark of sacrificial fire, focused within the fiery will of God. And thus I stand. I am a way by which men may achieve. I am a source of strength enabling them to stand. I am a beam of light shining upon their way. And thus I stand. And standing thus revolve and tread this way the ways of men and know the ways of God. And thus I stand. So you've just been described by the masters of the Trans-Himalayan Brotherhood that you are a point of light within a greater light, that you are a strand of loving energy within the stream of love divine, that you are a spark of sacrificial fire focused within the fiery will of God, that you are a way by which men may achieve, that you are a source of strength enabling them to stand, and that you are a beam of light shining upon their way. And as you stand that way, you turn from what could be your own emancipation, and for a time and a cycle, you tread the ways of men, even though you know the ways of God. And so, it sounds to me like we are intrinsically woven within the greater DNA of the cosmic Christ, which is a DNA weaving within the greater all that is. So do you get a sense of connectivity that you're intrinsically inwoven in the light, the love, the fire, the purpose, the way, and the will of God? You know, my good friend Dundalo Melchizedek shared one time the quintessential teaching that his teacher, Toth the Atlantean, had given him. And I think it's a teaching we could all embrace of. And he was told by Toth to remember your body is light and you are immortal. Just stay centered in your field and be honest in your response. Simple directives, don't you think? So we call ourselves light workers and light bearers, and even refer to ourselves as the light. But do we actually know what the light is? What is this light that we claim to be working with and bearing? I wonder if we had to write a thesis on the topic of light, if we could actually do so. Have you ever really given any thought to what is this thing that we call the light, that we call upon and send to people in situations? We say light for the highest good. But what is this light and what is this highest good? We said that phrase one time when we were in an interview with Satya Sai Baba. And he turned to us abruptly and he said, highest good? Highest good is God. So, yes, the highest good is that which has already been worked out in perfection by God, and we're just catching up with it in time and space. If we truly understand what light is, then everything else will begin to connect in our understanding about who we are and where we've come from and why we're here and what the purpose of all of this is. Moreover, we'll understand God and the great plan that is being unfolded through creation. And that is the divine radiation of life and consciousness and sentiency through form. That is the purpose of every single form, is to give radiatory expression of light. You know, the Piscean age was the age in which we understood God in the religious context. But we're moving into the Piscean age, which is the age of science, where we will understand God through the immaterial. And, of course, we have to bypass the material science to go into the science of consciousness and etheric energy itself. But you know what? No matter which side you start to eat the apple from, you're going to come to the core. And the core is the light, the cohesive factor, the illuminative factor in creation. And the plan at this time involves increasing the light quotient in all forms to the degree that we can appear into the next level of illumination that we call the fifth dimension. And we call this shift into greater light and greater awareness ascension. And you know, you have to understand sometimes the way a thing is being driven energetically in order to get a grasp of how we're doing that. And the Aquarian age is governed by three predominant energies, the second ray, the fifth, and the seventh ray. The second ray is the ray of education. But in the Aquarian age, we're going to go from simply parroting information to actually moving into divine revelation, which is direct cognition of that which is. Education also comes from the Latin word educare, which means to draw forth the innate knowing from within. And the way of meditation through the second ray and inquiry into spiritual things and the nature of light brings illumination. So that is the collective agenda before humanity in terms of education. It's also that part that connects us, that synthesizes and finds the common wheel, that reciprocates friendliness and sharing and cooperation between seemingly separate individuals. And that's going to be the predominant keynote of the Aquarian age, is goodwill and the will to good. Where we began to see the planet as our collective home, and all of us are brothers and sisters and creations of one source, one divine source field, and that we're intrinsically interwoven and connected. And what affects one affects all. And so sharing is going to be the predominant way that we come into agreement with the second ray energy of love, wisdom. Then you have the fifth ray of concrete science, which up until now has been very concrete, very set in its materiality and its attachment to the visible and the provable and the theories. But when you move that energy into the Aquarian age, it becomes the science of energy, the understanding of the etheric blueprinting, and the non-substantial, invisible elements of life. And thus we will have a technology of light that will give us unlimited free energy, the ability to grow food out of the manipulating and transmitting of the holograms of the DNA of any particular foodstuff, like we do on our ships. We release the DNA code to a hologram into a light and sound field, and it precipitates us whatever food that DNA is part of, that hologram transmits. And that's going to be applied to medicine. No longer we're going to have this poison and cut out and burn philosophy, but you're going to actually be able to take the DNA and rearticulate it into the perfection of anything that appears in dissonance, i.e. diseased. And that will be the new science. And then you have the seventh ray, which is the understanding of the perfection of the divine blueprinting behind every visible form. It's the rhythm, it's the cadence, it's the beautiful order, the divine design and order, which sends forth a particular thought form into materialization and manifestation and precipitation. And so there you have the quintessential expression of what is going to be and what we will call the Golden Age, the Satya Yuga, the Age of Truth. I think you're excited about that. If you're not, wake up and have some coffee. Because if that doesn't excite you with new purpose and new vision, well, maybe you've fallen asleep. So light, beloved, is the very first visible manifestation of creative intelligence. Light, the Bible tells us that God is light. And in God there is neither shadow nor turning, and no darkness whatsoever. So whenever anyone speaks of a God that has a dual nature, they're speaking of the God of the lower dimensions. They're not speaking of the supreme creator, because there are many demigods that step down that energy of light into manifestation in the various worlds. But the supreme, it of itself, the divine Sugmad, Sarmad, Purushottama, that which is the Akshaya, that which goes beyond every definitive and simply is spirituality itself. That's what we're talking about, that light. And thus, divine source itself is light. So light is the very first appearing of the Logos, the divine word, indivisibility, into visible manifestation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became light. So first comes the Word, the divine sound current, the Shabd, the Ek, the Hue, and that Word, or the Om, the Pranava, and that Word becomes light. And that light becomes a threefold flame. And that threefold flame takes form. And that's how we all came into being. So that which we call God is light itself. And the source field, the creator, the creative matrix. And light is information. So light could also be called the Divine Mother, and it could also be called the Christ or the Christos, and it could also be called consciousness or Chaitanya. It is the very energy of creative mind, creative intellect, creative intelligence, of cognition itself, and its lowest manifestation is information. Information. And imagination. Image generation. Informing and information. Which again creates the blueprint, the etheric design that then precipitates us in a given form, in alignment with that word. So there you have the whole creative process. And once you understand that, you can understand so many deeper things in light of awareness. So light is intelligence and information and creative expression and illumination and revelation. So light is the very life force seeking expression through every form in existence. And it is in the presence of the light, the fact that the presence of the light dwells in and through all things as the very photons, that gives rise to the belief and understanding that God dwells in all things. Of Course in Miracles has a wonderful exercise where you gaze around the room and you say, God is in everything I see. God is in this lamp. God is in this table. God is in this body. God is in this plant. God is in everything I see. And that's true, because the light, the photons of light, are in everything we see. So if we understand that God is light, as the Bible teaches, then we can understand that God dwells in all things as the very light of life and sentiency. And in man, God dwells as the light of self-awareness. That's what makes the man, capital M, not male, but men and women. That is what creates the uniqueness of the human. So now we can understand that we're talking about something that we're all involved with and participating in all the time. It's not something we actually have to call upon, but the rule of thumb is that if you don't ask, it's assumed that you don't need anymore. So that's why it's important to call yourself forward into a greater degree of awareness of the light that you are, and to ask for the light of greater awareness to come in and flood your consciousness. Now, light is also linked with time in an interesting way. And it's because the perception of time itself is connected with a third-dimensional mental perception of reality as a flow of sequential ordering. And in time and space, this is a regulator of how much each organism can safely receive and assimilate any given amount of light or information or energy. And this applies to the downloading of life as information. So each cycle of time has a specific quotient of downloading of particular packets of light or information and understanding that's appropriate for that cycle of evolution. And there are very strange apparatuses in the cosmos located in various positionings throughout the grid that are called chronomonitors that actually dispense transmissions of appropriate light packets of information for that given root race, that the given root race or manifested life wave, that group of souls that are matriculating through that particular planetary school of consciousness. And that's how that is divinely set into place to regulate the information that can be transmitted and accessed and appropriately downloaded in any given yuga or epoch of time. So today, both time and informational relay has speeded up to nearly a blur, and we are in the place of breaking that time barrier by exceeding the speed of light as measured in time, as we collectively move beyond time into timeless, limitless light, or Ein Sof. So we are being freed of the conditioning of the third dimensional ego mind perception, which is the form that time and separation and limitation took in the human being. It's that understanding of self in terms of separate, limited existence that's caught up in the noose of time. So this is the divine intervention, the divine pattern interrupt that has been granted to humanity to hasten and assure that we will all make it this time during this graduation cycle, and not one soul shall be lost, and no one will be left behind. Now, material science up until now has only acknowledged three of the lowest subplanes of the seven planes that are termed physical. In other words, each dimension has seven subplanes. And science, concrete material science, X-ray science, concrete science, only recognizes the dense physical, the liquid, and the gaseous. But beyond those are four higher etheric subplanes that make up together the seven levels of the physical plane. Now, Wilhelm Reich actually discovered these more subtle etheric planes, and he called them orgone energy. But unfortunately, he was thrown in prison for his efforts, where he eventually died. So those who tenaciously worship Mammon, the god of materiality, do not appreciate those who point to a higher non-material reality. The worshippers of materiality also desire the power over tangible commodities, things they can control and regulate, and, of course, make money in the process. But all of that is going now and rapidly. It's going down the drain. It's sailing. The plug is pulled on it. And it's not going to appear anymore. So as these systems begin to get busted and begin to fail and falter and collapse, and certain events that are transpiring on the surface of the planet really sincerely disrupt the old order of things, it's going to be a good thing. So while messy in appearance for a time, it's going to be so worth it when all of these systems collapse to give way for the new inventions of the technologies of light that are waiting in the wings to be gifted by the brothers and sisters of light that have been preparing for this very time. And they're on Earth, they're in incarnation, and they're also in the space commands that will indeed interact with humanity in assisting it to move into this new globe of the Earth, this fifth world that the Native Americans call it. We're moving from the fourth world into the fifth world, a new world, new Earth. So the Aquarian Age is all about becoming aware of the higher and formerly invisible reality. And I say formerly invisible because now mankind is developing etheric vision, which is a physical sight, but it's again moving into the ability to see into those four subplanes, because in your ascension process you are moving into a physical, etheric body. You're still going to be physical, but it's going to be a slightly less dense body. And that is why you're now able to capture images of the orbs in your photographs. That's actually that higher dimension appearing into, you know, your material world, or seemingly material world. So some can see these orbs physically, and other manifestations of light phenomena. Some are able to see the fairies and the devas and nature spirits and the angels, auras around people and things. and, of course, the many UFO sightings. And to see any of these higher manifestations of creation and light, you have to have increased the light of your own inner awareness to match these more subtle areas of perception. Otherwise, you couldn't see them. Now, a big part in accentuating the vibration of humanity and its ability to make this quantum shift has been the gift of crop circles. They've started coming in around the 1700s. Yeah, they've been around a long time. Because the shift into the Aquarian Age actually started, according to the Master DK, around 1625. So it's been quite a while that we've been moving progressively into this higher vibrational field that we call the Golden Age. And the crop circles, coming as they do from the etheric plane, have been instrumental in grounding this higher energy into the earth, almost like acupuncture's needles. And the visual development and etheric awareness of humanity has been nonverbally transmitted through the light and sound and divine designs of these magnificent gifts of higher consciousness. And who makes them? The Galactic Command makes them. We make them. The Astral Command. Soltec and his fleets make them. And many others. But it's a gift. It's a love letter from home. Lots of them. Thousands of them. All over the world. There's also sand circles and ice circles and snow circles and all sorts of different manifestations of this. In fact, we had one time we came back from a tour to our Ashtar Command Center in Mount Shasta, and before we stepped into our door, we noticed there was a small crop circle on the snow in front of our door. And we were very, very tired, so we just like stumbled over it and didn't step on it, but stumbled over it and went up and went to bed. And we remembered it in the morning. We ran downstairs, and thank heavens, it was still visible. And it was a message from the Ashtar Command welcoming us home. And, it was a sweet message of love. One time when I was working in Upper State New York, I was staying with a family, and the husband was quite skeptical. We're talking about crop circles. And he said, well, I'd believe it maybe if one appeared in my backyard. And he was kind of, snippety about it. Well, in the morning we got up, and there was a crop circle on the lawn of his backyard. It was the form of a heart. He was blown out of the water. He didn't know what to say. So these are wonderful things that happen. When we were working up in Colorado on the land of one of our major commanders, she had a property. And when we would stay, whenever we were there in residency, we would have these incredible circles of light manifest in this field. And they would take different geometric shapes. And we asked one time what they were about. And it was the Ashtar Command. And they said, well, we're anchoring specific light in the grids in the various areas of the planet. And one time we went out there, and the Ashtar Command had landed in their light bodies. And they were surrounding the field. And I was permitted to go out into the center of the field. And as I stood there, one of the light forms came and merged with me, and it was Ashtar. And unfortunately to me, I felt like cool mist. And I felt a little sad because the experience was one in which I just really realized, oh my gosh, they're like totally in another dimension. But nevertheless, it was a beautiful experience, and we had it repeated times as we'd go up into this area, Mesa Verde area, where they have a major, major, major base, Ashtar Command base, underneath that area where the Temple of the Sun is located, directly under there, about a 10-mile, 15-mile radius. He has a huge underground base there. So these things are very real. We're not talking, imagination here. And I've had so many experiences that I don't often talk about them, actually. It's what I'm going to start to do a little bit more, I think, because we all like to hear these stories. And So anyway, the rapid acceleration of light velocity is why so many of you are feeling a bit fried. And many of you report to being stressed to the max by the pace of events and the complexity of the things that you have to deal with and process every day. So the more you try to use the ego mind, the lower mind, the, you know, that beta level frequency of human consciousness, the more fatigued and stressed you're going to feel. Because it's an obsolete approach now. You can't ego your way through life anymore. You've got to consciously live from the light of awareness, higher awareness, that you are the light, that you live in the light, that you're sustained by the light. And to get more light into your mind, very simply through breathing, through asking, through inquiry, through the desire and intention of your innermost being to be of greater service. Boy, nothing will light your light faster than that, to live a life of purpose that's to be a blessing and of service to everyone at all times. When you go forth with that thought of seeing what you can do to be a blessing, seeing what you can do to bless another, seeing what you can do to give and to increase the joy and the happiness and the peace in the world, whoa, does your light begin to radiate and expand. So we have asked our commander, very aware that a vast majority of the people on Earth, including many of you that are listening tonight, are at this time extremely stressed, just trying to survive to the next paycheck. And some of you trying to survive and get through the day and the week with no paycheck. And so, you know, when you're in that state, it's kind of raw subsistence survival, and there's neither time nor energy to really consider that anything could be different, to generate any kind of energy towards, you know, holding a vision. But don't worry, because that's where divine assistance has come in, understanding the condition that humanity's in at this time. And we know that you're full of concern about the earth changes and the global economy and what may happen at the end of 2012, and that's this year. And gosh, it's already February, and wow, it's going fast. And the TV programming isn't helping, because it seems to be focused upon a series of apocalyptic scenarios, fearful doom and gloom predictions, and people preparing for the worst-case scenarios. And here I come with a very different message each week. And sometimes I even wonder myself why I'm simply not seeing these negative scenarios that nearly everyone else is seeing. And Ashtar reminded me, and keeps reminding me, that it's because I have come back in time from the future, and from a very beautiful future, I might add. And this accounts for my steadfast faith and knowing. And I do know, and I know with such a depth of my being that nothing can shake me from that knowing. So unfortunately, many of you believe in the power of the material things that you can see more than the power of the invisible things of spirit. Many of you believe more in money and having, quote-unquote, that's a belief system, to work hard to make money, regardless of whether or not that's in alignment with your heart and your divine directives and your divine purpose. And many of you believe more in pharmaceutical products for health than you do in the healing power of God, the restoring, regenerative power of the divine spirit when you evoke it in faith. So, a lot of the lessons being learned today is to let go and let God, to trust, to breathe in and breathe out and do your very best, and what you can't do, you just cast on the everlasting love of God. You go about your business. And I asked Ashtar also if there was any other possible scenarios, given that we live in a universe of many probable, possible realities, and so many channels are receiving channeling that there's no possibility we're going to, you know, do this other negative thing. And I'm not seeing that. I'm not getting that. And so I asked him, I said, is it possible that we could, like, mess this up and take a downward turn? And he said, no, that divine intervention had already entered the scene and bridged us beyond that possibility through grace. So a great light of divine love and grace has entered our world and interceded. Even the spirit of truth that is being poured forth on all humanity at this time. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus the Christ came and saved humanity and this earth itself through his gift of his own life, through grace, bridging time back into eternity and resurrecting into the light body that we're all going to be inheriting now, because he secured the matrix and the blueprint for us. So all we have to do is follow him and step into eternity with him, and the work's been done. He's already done the hard stuff. So he erased the karmic debt that had so heavily weighed upon humankind that we would have never, ever, ever gotten free of without help. And Jesus set the captives of time and erroneous misperception free. And that would be every one of us that's imprinted with a human body, because that human body still carries the genetic memory of the fall. And the lower mind is still in process of being, let's say, illumined away. So the next great gift of grace must be, along with many other great souls that have come, but predominantly the cosmic avatar that is coming in a threefold manifestation: Shirdi Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, and Prema Sai Baba. And they have absolutely come to avert the crises that had come upon humanity and to bridge and advance and secure humanity's entrance into the golden age. And that is the current path of progression that we are on. And Sai Baba has emphatically stated upon a number of occasions where I have physically heard him that there is absolutely no possibility of error or failure, that the golden age will reoccur, and more beautifully than we could ever imagine in our wildest. So we are headed into a new earth, a new, refreshed, refurbished, pristine, beautiful earth. The mental aberration which occurred during the fall of Atlantis and the process that happened to close down our higher awareness and entrap us in the third density, that the previous root race that we'd come through, the Atlantean root race, that has been healed. And the dysfunctional aberration has served its purpose, because everything is used ultimately to serve the divine plan. And the purpose of this dysfunctional little part that we call the separative self, the ego mind, was offered an experience of separate existence, of differentiation, of making compartments out of ideologies and religions and countries. And humanity was allowed to create all of these little fences of difference. But do you know that we don't have any of that in the higher worlds, in the higher divine worlds from which many of us have come as emissaries, as celestial emissaries of earth assignment? There are no divisions in belief systems. There's no divisions as to this is my planet and that's their planet. We share all planets together. We travel throughout the greater omniverse on excursions and vacations and exploration journeys. And we go where no one has gone before. But you know what? Every place is filled with love and goodwill and welcome and sharing and collaboration. There is no such thing as any galactic battles being fought in the worlds that we come from, that I speak about. None. Maybe in the lower astral realms, I don't know. I don't come from those levels. Where I come from, everyone is in one accord, and they share the universe with deepest love and caring and goodwill, and everything is shared in common. We don't have any disease. We don't have any money. We don't have any ownership, separate ownership. We don't have anything that we keep where we would exclude anyone else from enjoying it and participating with it. That's the big difference. And that's what you're moving into. When that ego mind, when the light of higher awareness shines that away, that's how you're going to be. That's how you're going to see things. You're not going to have any againstness against anything or anyone. There will be no vestige of hatred anywhere in your being. And when that goes, there goes your major cause of disease. Disease is always caused because we've set ourselves against someone or something. And the universe is a unified field of love. It will not support, absolutely, the worlds we come from, the civilizations that I represent, will not come into agreement with any form of discord or negativity. It backs off immediately. It will not lend energy to conflict at all. So to work with us, that's why we will come in if you invite us with love, with open-heartedness. But if you fear us, if you push us away, if you resist us, we're gone. We will not violate your preference for separation, if that's what you want. But the consensus of your world now has turned the tide to where the avatar could actually come forth. In fact, he said the devotion and the evocation of the people who love God is what allowed the cosmic avatar to take form on this earth. Yes, he is the direct precipitation of the devotion in the hearts of humanity. That's pretty special. So now, to begin to understand your life in a higher context, it's important to understand that all of nature is etheric in the sense that whatever gets down into a tangible physical form has an etheric blueprint, which I found is located in the sixth dimension. That's the divine blueprinting staging arena that precipitates into tangible form, whatever you can see in the lower densities. It's all a modulation and a stepping down of energy, bear in mind. The primordial energy is the divine word, the living word, and the living light. That's the foundation of everything in the worlds that I represent, the light and the sound of God. And then you have an understanding of the etheric blueprint. You have an etheric double. You have an actual duplicate of your physical body that hovers around your physical body. It's that part that gives phantom pain. You know, if you have a person has an amputation, for example, you can still feel that limb is there. That's the etheric body we're speaking of. When you go under anesthesia, when you have an operation, an anesthesiologist facilitates the externalization of your etheric body from your physical body. And when that happens, that renders insentiency in the physical vehicle. In other words, you can't feel. So the etheric body is a stepping down and a relaying of the energy, the gaseous energy of what we call the soul, which is conscious sentiency through the nervous system. It comes in and it irradiates the nervous system and the cerebral spinal central nervous system with the ability to feel, to touch, to get feedback from the environment. And that feedback mechanism is actually the light that you are as Atma or soul or spirit. That's the proof that you're operating through your vehicle is that you can feel it. And that's why when you're in a meditative state, when you're soul traveling, your body will usually go completely numb. You won't feel it when you're externalized from your body and traveling in the higher consciousness of soul. I don't speak of or teach about astral projection. That's not the way you move into the soul. If you go into astral projection, then you just walk around your room and you're locked into the physical and the astral plane. But when you go into soul body, you can move up into soul and then go down and visit any of the lower dimensions. But you're in a perfect protection. And the soul body looks like a golden oval of light. And yes, it manifests as a form if it needs to. But it can also just be a globe of light, an oval of light. So nature is etheric, whether in a form or formless state. And the highest understanding, understandable, let's say, manifestations are invisible gases out of which all things are born. So physical densified form is nothing but a densified manifestation of these so-called invisible ethers or gases. Or as an esotericist would put it, the dense physical forms are the precipitation of their etheric blueprints, which sometimes manifest themselves to people with etheric vision. That's where you can see, like, for example, light bodies will come in, and sometimes you can see them out of the peripheral vision, or you can see sometimes auras, or what has been captured in Kirlian photography, things of that nature. We're developing the instruments, photographic instruments that can actually capture this formerly invisible manifestation of etheric life. And, of course, as I've explained to you before, we speaking now as an extraterrestrial from the Ashtar Command, we raise and lower our rate of vibration. We can do that in our physical body. Some of you that have done workshops with me in the early years remember how I used to raise my vibration to where my body would go into invisibility, and then I would lower it to where it would become visible again. And I was initially, we were initially teaching you that you are simply a modulation of vibration which enables you to be visible or invisible at will. And then we taught you how to do that. So many of you also learned how to raise and lower your vibrations into visibility and invisibility. And that's how we seem to appear in and disappear out of your sky when you see our spacecraft. We can do that. We can regulate the electronic spin to where we're visible or invisible at will. We also use cloaking devices, but basically that's what we do. And now today, the scientists are trying the best to find out what dark matter is. That dark matter, which is eluding their view. And they have been spending billions of dollars on proving, or trying to prove with CERN's particular accelerator, the God particle. But you know what? It's really interesting. It's been said that we can build cyclotrons that are 23 kilometers long and take 20 years to build and cost billions of dollars. But, you know, you could have had the same information for free if you'd asked any really good esotericist. And he could tell you what the dark matter is. Interesting. That's one of the characteristics of the ego. It always finds the hardest way to do something and doesn't want to listen to anything else because it's got its mind made up. It's an exciting time. It's a good time. It's a positive time. And it certainly is not a time to be afraid or worried or any of that. Now, the amount of information that you can actually download into your vehicle is also measured according to the receptivity of your capacitors. In other words, it's like a fiery electricity which will burn out your circuitry if it's too strong for your consciousness. And that's how higher information is protected from those who are non-initiate or not ready. Those that are just the idle curiosity seekers, they can't have access to this higher information. And that's what protects it and keeps it quite safe. And the degree that you begin to gradually raise yourself into the state of pure light is called the process of initiation, which was started by the Great White Brotherhood after the fall of Atlantis, to get humanity back up to the place that it originally held before it fell into densified matter. And according to Drinvalo, we were all sixth-dimensional beings at one point before the fall in Atlantis. And if that's true, then we're being advanced back to being pure light energy beings, or they're called the Zoharim in the Keys of Enoch. But these are advanced ultra-terrestrials that are spatial dwellers. They don't have to use spaceships. They don't have to even live in any specific planetary realm, but they have complete freedom to go in and out of the different manifestations of creation on their creative journeys and explorations. Again, we just love to explore the universe. We love to visit other worlds and other places and other peoples and cross-pollinate, as it were, to share, you know, what we have to share. And that's what you're going to be doing instead of working at these, you know, silly jobs. In fact, most labor will be done by servile mechanisms that are, they're kind of like, I don't watch those movies much, but the guy that's part human and part robot, that guy, whatever his name is. And we're going to have more robots that take care of mindless tasks to release the human for divine co-creative expression. And so that's what you're going to be doing. That's what you're going to be involved with, is creating ever more beautiful houses for the spirit to flow through and express through, and mansion worlds and realms and universes, and great schools of cosmic endeavor. And you're going to be having a life that is no longer limited by the belief in separation and fear and death and confinement, but you'll be released back to the divine plan that God had in mind all the time before we took a little rabbit trail into illusion and bought into the lie of the serpent and played around in the lower realms for a while. But been there, done that, bought the beanie, and we're off now to the next glorious adventure that the Father, Mother, God, and Source has planned for all of us. I'm happy. I'm excited to share this information with you. So begin to think of yourself as light, that God's light shines from every single cell of your being, that you're woven in the greater divine DNA, ever one with Source, ever one with God. God is in you, and you are in God forever and ever and ever. And the proof that you're in God and God is in you is the love in your heart. And that's the only important thing you need to cultivate, is your love walk, your walk of compassion and goodwill as you finish your time on this beautiful planet in this dimension as it prepares for its major shift into the new Earth. And you've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, transmitting our message for this evening to all of you beloveds that are our Earth-based representatives and that are the working light, the light bearers, and the images of those walking in time and space and serving humanity. And we'll go out chanting Anai Hu, which is a wonderful mantra of unification and loving brotherhood that links you in perfect harmonic resonance with the new Earth vibration. So, take a deep breath. Anai Hu. Ah. a suggestion when you are watching television or you're seeing the news or you're hearing people share from a fearful place, you can, in your heart and mind, chant the Anahi, and that energy will begin to transmute that negativity. And also, just put your hands out and send the Anahi through your palms and your voice and your intention as you watch television, and just transmute that energy and begin to replace. And also, if you see storms coming or you see the weather report where it's tornadoes are on the way, chant the Anahi into that storm, and with it send your love. It's amazing how you can deflect and deter a disaster with the love and power of your coherent heart and your divine intention. So God bless you, and God willing, I will be with you next week. Adonai.